Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, we're wrapping up the year.
We are. Christmas is over, and what a great time with family. I hope that all of our listeners were able to spend quality time together. We are wrapping up the year, and as we do, we're looking forward to that end-of-year jobs report. The White House press secretary is now claiming that Biden has created 29 million new jobs. All along through the year, they've said that he created 14 million jobs, and then suddenly it's 29 million. And I will tell you, I was in D.C., and you can watch the agencies, but the Bureau of Labor Statistics and the Bureau of Economic Analysis, those two really know how to maneuver the numbers. What they do is they create these jobs reports almost out of thin air. Then later, sometimes months later, sometimes years later, then the gross domestic product is adjusted down and the jobs reports are adjusted down and the inflation is adjusted up when it's actually finally known. And anyway, but by then people have quit watching that report. They're already on the next one. And it's a game that gets played, and it's unfortunate, but you can look for maybe 100,000 new jobs to be announced, 150,000. But overall, they're going to claim 29 million new jobs. Meanwhile, people know that they're working two and maybe three jobs to get by. They recognize that sometimes full-time jobs are replaced by part-time jobs, and the employers are aware that the forced participation is still down below pre-pandemic levels. And so we've never regained some of the workers at all. They've gotten used to living off the government paychecks. They said, this is enough to get by and I'll live this way. Forget the future. I'm content just to stay home. And then the final nail in the coffin of the regular everyday worker is that inflation is still up. And you'll hear the administration the numbers and say that inflation is down. Well, what they're saying is that the rate of inflation maybe has decreased from 5% down to 4%, but that is still up, but they say it's down. And it's, again, you have to understand that the agencies are willingly playing games with the administration to announce that things are getting so much better. But I tell you, the American people are really smart, and they're not going to fall for these games that get played. They understand when they go to the supermarket and the gas station that things are not right and they are not as good as they were under Trump.
I noticed that when I see Democrats on TV and hear them on radio discussing these things, they're almost saying the same thing word for word. Have you noticed that?
Well, sure. I recognize that when we're in D.C., you get to know a lot of the Democrats and friendly with them. And it was sometimes embarrassing to me. I never brought it up to them, but they couldn't go to the floor as a general rule and speak on their own. They needed to carry those talking points over there and speak from them. But even here in the state, I would travel around and different interviewers, opportunity to interview many times. And I would go in and say, ask anything you want to, and I will give you an answer that's as truthful as I can. And I felt responsible to study the issues well enough that I knew no matter what people asked that I could talk coherently about it. But many times I heard those same interviewers saying, you know, this is so unusual because when Democrats come in, they me a list of questions and I have to ask them the questions, and then they're reading from a sheet of paper. Even one of them, I was embarrassing, and again, I don't use names because it's not a personal deal, but it was embarrassing. But he got to working from the talking points and got mixed up and was reading one set of talking points for a different question. And you know, that just doesn't generate a lot of trust in the representatives in Washington when they don't know the issues. For instance, right now, all three of the congressmen and maybe even the senators, but maybe the whole delegation is saying that we need to slow down a power line that's going into Los Alamos. Well, I was in D.C. long enough to know that other states desperately want those labs. All of the PhDs there are high-paying jobs. They're government jobs. They got benefits. They'll retire where they work. And so other states would gladly take these labs. And the last thing we want to do is run out of power when the labs are trying to expand their mission or do some research into the nuclear weapons, whatever it is that they do. And so for no one in the delegation to be offering a different viewpoint is actually very unsettling. But that comes right back to the point that they're just on the same talking they don't really investigate the tangential effects of it. And so it's actually frightening what's going on right now with them saying, let's hold up on this power line. They want to hold up so they get more public comment. But you remember, we've talked a couple of times about the whole Chaco Canyon things. They don't want more time for the Navajos to lodge disagreement with their decisions. And so that gets pushed through vertically. But new power lines always are something that Democrats really don't favor here in New Mexico. And so the entire delegation seems to be saying, let's hold up and study this more. Usually that leads to delays and maybe never even building the line.
I'm talking with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. In just a moment, we'll talk about the nominating committee in New Mexico and will President Trump be on the ballot in New Mexico? That's coming up on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico as I continue my conversation with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pearson. Steve, I want to ask you about this press release I saw. The Republican Party of New Mexico requested to postpone the nominating meeting for the 2024 election. I wonder if you could give us some clarification on what happened with that, why you did it, and what the result was.
Sure. By state law, and it's kind of a curious thing, but every 4 years, the Democrat leader in the House and the Senate, the Republican leader in the House and Senate, and the party chairs, myself and the Democrat Party and the Libertarian chair, all met at the Supreme Court headquarters last week. We met with Chief Justice Shannon Bacon, and this is all strictly run by law, and we have to nominate the people who are going to be on the ballot for president. That's the sole function of this meeting. It usually doesn't take very long. This time there was a lot of press there, but 4 years ago during the pandemic, almost nobody showed up, and it was an icy day. We weren't sure we were going to get there. So again, a different flavor to the meeting. We nominated four of the ones who are still in the debates: Chris Christie, Vivek Ramaswamy, Nikki Haley, and of course, Ron DeSantis. But we also put Donald Trump on the ballot. Those are the five that appear to have some standing. But the main thing is that this action doesn't actually have to be finished. I think it's like the 15th of February. It's the middle of February. And that's about when we met before, 4 years ago. And so this was extremely early. And so our point was that, listen, a lot of candidates could drop out between now and then. Why don't we postpone this meeting to a later date and let's come back maybe toward the 1st of February or something. The Chief Justice listened patiently and said we were going to go ahead with the meeting because we had everybody gathered there. We understood that Senator Baca made a motion that we at least be allowed to submit close to February the 15th an amended list if we have candidates who race. So that's all it was. Our letter was turned in. Mostly we just wanted it known that this was very early and we were a little bit curious why. We'll see if there's any plan that comes around from having this ballot declared this early. There's a suspicion that it's following on the heels of the whole thing in Colorado. You know, you had the four Democrat justices there kicked Trump off the ballot. You had three Democrat justices who disagreed, saying, wait, the man hasn't been convicted of insurrection. He's not charged currently with any insurrection, so it doesn't look like he's going to be convicted of it. How can we, a court who doesn't allow the object of our decision to come in and testify or anything, we simply just declare what we want to be. And three of the Democrat justices in Colorado said that that was really an affront to our republic and to the constitutional rights of somebody who has been charged. So I think that decision is going to go to the Supreme Court. The Democrats are wanting to move it full scale to every state in the union. So that tells you where our party is right now.
We did have a question on the RPNM Facebook page. Somebody wanted to know if there were any plans that you had heard in New Mexico of also keeping Trump off the ballot here.
Well, like I said, there was some speculation. It was quite speculation. I haven't heard any plans from Democrats or any concrete plans. But there was speculation that the reason that Democrats wanted this meeting so early was to get the ballot established to where when they go into session in January, they can make a big stir at the legislature with Democrats kicking Trump off the ballot or trying to kick him off. But I think before then, the Supreme Court will have acted. And if they turn back the Colorado decision, then it's going to make anything that our legislature tries to do kind of null and void. So we'll see how it works out. But we're still ready and willing to fight the Democrats on every front.
It's interesting to watch this. Colorado is actually forcing this to go to the Supreme Court. If the Supreme Court decides in Trump's favor, then no state can keep him off the ballot, right? That's because it's a U.S. Supreme Court. So that kind of helps him.
Yeah, that's correct. And of course, it's going to simply motivate the Trump supporters to get out and vote strongly and in great numbers. So everything they're trying to do to him actually kind of backfires against the Democrats, and his popularity increases. And he just is looking stronger every day. Now, he's not through the primary, so I can't say that I endorse him. But I can say that the people who are trying to tear him down are afraid of him. And that fear shows through to the American public. They realize that the Democrats understand they have a very flawed candidate in Joe Biden. Kamala Harris, if Joe Biden, something happens to him and she's running there, she's deeply unpopular, even more unpopular than Joe Biden. And so the Democrats are trying everything they can do to change the discussion from their candidate on the Republican. It's a political trick and one that sometimes works very well. Democrats do that extremely well. And so we'll see. But right now, people are just discouraged about the way that the inflation is eating up their buying power. Their wage may be going up, but the real effect is that they have less money to spend because of the inflation. And the crime is every day bothering people. The failure in our education system, and even the thing with the Harvard president, who obviously has been out plagiarizing to get her position. She's borrowing things without, I think they said, without giving due credit. Well, we all know what plagiarism is. Joe Biden knows it very well. He actually did the same thing. I guess that the president of Harvard thought, if a guy can get in the United States, sure, it's okay for me to be president of Harvard by cheating. And so it's actually quite funny to watch. Harvard is actually governed by a corporate board that was established a couple of hundred years ago. It's maybe even longer. And it's a very secretive operation. And to see a secretive operation being held out in the public winds and it's just flopping around in the breeze, you know, it has to be breaking their heart. But worse, it's indicating just the disarray that our education system is in, that they don't even know or vet the president of what's supposed to be one of the star educational institutions in the country. And so very interesting turn of events there.
Yes. And if you were listening to the program last week, folks, you got to hear her being questioned on the House floor.
If threats and affronts to Jews and Israelis were against their policies, and she gave an answer like, well, it depends on the situation. That was obtuse. And again, she's been taking a lot of heat over that. The board at Harvard was standing firmly behind her. But now with all of this stuff and the revelations on her plagiarism kind of keep popping up, they answer two or three and everybody thinks it's all calmed down. And then a new couple show up. And at some time, the weight becomes just too much for the university to bear. And the board will have to make a change. But it's, again, not the look that Harvard wanted in public week after week after week. But don't be mistaken. Many of the Ivy League institutions are the same. You remember that president at University of Pennsylvania already stepped down. That president made the same comments at that congressional hearing. So the other shoe may fall sooner, may fall later. But I think that Harvard has lost billions in income. Of course, it's not widely known, but they've got, I think, something like a $500 billion war chest. They've got a lot of money in the bank. I do think that the U.S. government should take away their $671 million appropriation every year. I just think that that is called for, given the stance that they aren't willing to condemn violence against Jews. I suppose they would condemn violence against other groups, just not the Jews, because basically they get a lot of money from the governments that are supporting Hamas. Somebody needs to look at that very closely about the out-of-country contributions that go into our universities and how it affects their politics. I think that's a key area that needs to be delved into while we're looking at Harvard.
We talked about the jobs report. I saw a report that the U.S. national debt is at an all-time high.
Yeah, the debt is approaching $34 trillion, and during Bush's time, it was at $10 trillion, and everybody really thought that was crazy, and it was very high. So less than 20 years later, now we're at $34 trillion, so over three times what it was during the Bush term, and that's what's causing the inflation. All of that debt is piling up, and our debt is increasing almost $2 trillion just in this 1 year alone. But keep in mind, we've said it many times, that debt on the books doesn't include all of the debt. When numbers get embarrassing to Washington, they simply take them off the books. They pass a law and say, we're not going to consider that. So the Social Security debt is not included in the deficit, nor is Medicare or Medicaid. And so when you add all of those three in, the debt is way over $100 trillion, and there's no way for us to pay that back. So when I forward into 2024, I tell people, be very, very cautious. The world is fragile economically. For all of the strength that China has, they're running into financial difficulties. Of course, as our economy slows down, which it's doing because of the inflation, as people buy less, much of that is coming from China. And so obviously they get to sell us less. There was an interesting editorial that I was reading that described when the writer walked into Walmart for Christmas shopping and wanted to take a look at all the products that were from China and other nations. And he said it just became depressing that almost everything in Walmart is from some other country, that the U.S. has outsourced much of its productivity. Those are the stable jobs. The jobs that we're keeping here are not as stable and they're not as high paying. Manufacturing jobs where you're creating something new, that's where the prosperity of a country comes from. And so I just urge everyone to be very careful with debt and taking on new projects during 2024. It might be a time to really preserve your cash, pay down your debt for your house if you can, and just be very careful, because I think that we're going to look at a major economic impact in 2024, up to and including maybe the U.S. being removed as the world's reserve currency, which is going to cause tremendous pain for American consumers. It'll cause our standard of living to drop significantly. A lot of economic turmoil around the corner if the other nations actually drop the U.S. dollar as a trading currency of the world.
I'm talking with Steve Pierce, the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico. In just a moment, we'll talk about the governor's gun ban in Albuquerque and how well that's working, or not, on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They're highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico, as I continue my conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Once again, the governor's violation of the Second Amendment seems to have failed when a 16-year-old goes into a strip club where he's not old enough to be allowed in the first place and then starts shooting people. He violated her gun ban.
He wasn't in a park or on a playground, and so I don't guess our ban affected that. Of course, we're joking. She keeps talking about how that her gun ban is saving lives and stopping all the crime in New Mexico. This is an indication that the people who have guns and going to use them badly are not going to follow the law no matter what. And so she's simply affecting law-abiding citizens, and that's not going to help crime at all. The head of the police union, I think, or the police association has said basically that in Albuquerque, that that ban is doing nothing, that it was already against the law to do some things that she was banning. So it's just a play for publicity. And her proudly out there saying that it's working is, again, just moving towards the publicity.
And you had said this last week, and we talk about had you won for governor, how things would be different in previous shows. But your answer to this is put the criminals in jail. It's real simple.
Put them in jail and keep them in jail, because Democrats right now nationwide are going through this system of letting criminals out of jail. And it's not always because of overcrowding. It's just it has become their principle. So basically, I think as we close out the program this year and close out this program, I think we should walk back through what Democrats stand for and understand the contrast between them and conservatives. The Democrats, and people want to say, well, it's just the progressives. It's the Democrat Party. Make no mistake about it. Whether it's progressives or not, doesn't matter. The progressives are in control of the Democrat Party. And so maybe your average Democrat on the street doesn't agree. But as long as they vote for Democrats, they're pushing an agenda that supports the Democrat spiritual war, spiritual civil war against God, America, and the Constitution. You just can't make this stuff up, what the court in Colorado did and what's happening across the country with different district attorneys and the attack on our traditional moral values, the whole thing with men being allowed in women's sports. But it's the leaders of the Democrat Party who want to open our southern border and allow terrorists. I mean, there is no stopping anybody there. Hundreds of thousands of people every month now are coming across. They're allowing terrorists, criminals, illegal drug carriers. Fentanyl is flooding into the country and killing Americans. And this is because the Democrat Party supports an open border. That means that the U.S. will not exist anymore. Take a look at some of the countries in Europe where the same thing has happened. It's Democrats who want to defund the police. You wonder about the crime? Look at who wants to defund the police, and it's the Democrats. It's the Democrat prosecutors who refuse to arrest and jail people who steal less than $1,000. So you can steal $900. You don't even get charged. And so if you want to change, you're going to have to change your party, because it's the Democrat Party that wants that. It's the Democrat Party who has declared war on fossil fuel. That's the only way that we drive our cars. We're going to drive to a job. We're going to drive to see grandkids, take our kids to school. That's using gasoline. We don't have wind-powered cars. We don't have solar-powered cars. And it's going to be a long time before we have it. And yet it's Democrats who want to shut down the oil and gas industry here in New Mexico, killing over 20,000 hugely good jobs. And so if you want something different, you're going to have to vote different. It's the Democrats' out-of-control government spending that has led to high inflation. It is that same Democrat out-of-control government spending that has led to higher interest rates. When inflation gets too high, the Federal Reserve has to raise the interest rate in order to put a damper on the inflation. And so you wonder why interest rates are going up. It's because inflation is up, and that's because of Democrats' out-of-control government spending. It's the Democrats who insist boys and men have the right to participate in women's sports, taking their scholarships away from them, taking their state championships away from them. It's the Democrats who insist that teenage boys and men can use the bathrooms and showers of teenage girls and women. What kind of lunacy is that? And so, again, I think it's important for us here at the end of the year, let's cap out what Democrats stand for, because Republicans stand for normal. We stand for criminals staying in jail and funding the police and supporting them in their job. If you steal $1,000 or $100, you should go and pay the penalty. We want to be self-sufficient in gas and oil. And under Trump, we were. And the price of gasoline had fallen to historic low levels. And now the Democrats are running that price of gasoline up. You didn't see this high rate of inflation and the high interest rates under President Trump because he controlled the economy. He controlled the spending, and we didn't have these huge deficits. And you're not seeing Republicans insisting that men should use women's locker rooms, and we're not insisting that men should compete in women's sports. And so understand the significant difference between Republicans and Democrats, and let that determine how you register and how you vote.
I think a lot of Democrats would vote Republican or even switch to the Republican Party, but the Democrat Party scares them, tells them lies about what Republicans stand for, and makes them afraid to make that change.
Yes, I think that Republicans should boldly declare their conservative beliefs, because this nation, no matter what the polls say, that people in this country are basically center right. They do believe that there's a place in our country for God. They do believe that there's a difference between men and women, and that we shouldn't be sending men into women's sports or into the restrooms. Republicans do believe that we should live within our fiscal means. If we're going to spend more money on another program, we should cut it somewhere else. Let's live within what we bring in every year. Let's quit running the deficits. I know that we could cut the size of government in many different ways and never feel it. So those are Republican ideas. We would not cut Social Security. We would not cut Medicare and Medicaid. People depend on those programs. But I will guarantee you that Republicans could manage this country's education system better than the Democrats, because the Democrats are beholden to the teachers' unions, and the teachers' unions are the problem with education, not only in New Mexico, but the entire country. School choice, I think, would be a top priority for Republicans. And yet Democrats don't want school choice. They want to force people into the government-run schools. There's no competition. Your kid can't get a better deal. I will guarantee if kids could leave a school where they're not learning and go to schools where they were learning, that all schools would improve almost immediately if the money would flow with the kids. Those are Republican ideas. The Democrats are beholden to the unions, and they're not going to change anything to make teachers more accountable. We can't get rid of bad teachers because of the unions, and that's a major flaw in the education system. So a lot of reasons and a lot of differences between Republicans and Democrats, all of them revolving around better jobs, better prosperity, better education, lower crime, and treating people fairly. So just don't believe what the media says. Don't believe what the Democrat Party says about Republicans. Get out and talk to a few of your Republicans who are serving. Come and listen to our values as we talk about governing. And so as we wrap up this year again, it's with the hope and belief that America is really seeing the truth. They're ready for change, and they're going to vote for change. I think the same thing is going to happen here in New Mexico.
Thank you, Steve Pierce, chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico. If you're listening to the program and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, there's several ways to do that. They have a webpage that's newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and an X account. The handle is at newmexicogop. If you would like to speak to someone in person, you can call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. Want to thank the radio stations around the state that play Inside New Mexico. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again next week on Inside New Mexico.